on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in all listeners, this is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introduce him, the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On The Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton and you're listening to On The Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
It's Sunday, it's 8pm and it's Phoenix 98 FM, it's On The Ropes. Hope everyone's keeping well, safe and healthy. Lots to talk about this week, this weekend, Charlie, after you know, some mouth-watering fights here in the UK and the US. First question from me, really, Charlie, Christmas tree up yet? Yes or no?
What do you reckon? Of course, Mrs. F had me busy, well, not this weekend, actually, I had it up last weekend, would you believe? The little one. It was her birthday. She wanted her presents under the tree. So not only Christmas presents, she wanted her birthday presents under the tree. So I had it up last weekend. I'm presuming you got yours up this weekend then.
Yeah, it was like the Griswolds' National Lampoon for us this weekend. Every year we go off to a Christmas tree farm down at Dunton Road, just on the just off the A127. Picked our tree, you know, fantastic. Then we got it back home, got it in, you know, 6 foot tree in through the front door into the front room, and that's when the arguing begins, because me and the missus just cannot see eye to eye, certainly on the fact that we have to get the Christmas tree lights around the tree.
Step ladder to get the fairy on the top.
exactly. So tree is finally in the house. It's all decorated. Certainly feeling more in the festive season, which is why this week every single song will be a Christmas song this week and for the rest of December.
Oh no, I'm sick of them already.
Yeah, so get ready for that one. That will certainly get you in the festive mood, because I think it's the only thing we've got to look forward to, right? 2020 has been an absolutely disastrous year for many, but we've got Christmas just around the corner. 4 more Mondays till Christmas and something to look forward to.
And we've got fans back in the stadium. Sports arenas next weekend, right?
Only in Tier 2. Only for Tier 2.
West Ham, mate. West Ham.
West Ham and the
United.
Boxing.
Yeah, you might get in then.
There could be a few in there. So, yeah, something to look forward to in the, you know, steps in the right direction. News first, Charlie, as always, for the week. Announced this week, Gennady Golovkin will defend his IBF middleweight title against Kamaru Shchemetia.
Ooh.
I know, I can't pronounce that one. On December the 18th at the Hard Rock Hotel, Florida. GGG back in action. Even bigger story to talk about. But firstly, what's your thoughts on the Golovkin back in the ring?
Yeah, good to see him. I mean, I'm surprised he's still going. He's getting on a bit, but, you know, he's obviously signed a deal with Matchroom, isn't he? DAZN, so he needs to fulfil that. He's been a little bit inactive. Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing him getting going again. I mean, what's he got left in the tank? You know, where's he going to go? Is there a couple of big mouth-watering bouts further down the road, 2021 for him, 2022 maybe? But he's certainly, a force to be reckoned with, let's be honest, you know, and let's see how he goes. I'm sure he should come through this, right? On paper, he should have enough.
Yeah, only time will tell. We've seen Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. make comebacks this weekend. Oscar De La Hoya quoted this week, "I'm looking to make a comeback in the first quarter of next year, a real fight. Regarding my opponent, somebody today mentioned someone that really intrigued me," said Oscar De La Hoya. "I'll tell you, I mean, guys like GGG. Guys with that style, I can take apart, no problem, we'll see. You know how easy Golovkin would be for me. Oh my gosh, it'll be a high-profile fight, that's for sure. I'll always look to make a good start and I always look to take fighters apart. In my mind, Golovkin would be easy and I would definitely consider it." Charlie, thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think he's too much sangria or something. It's no. Oscar, stay retired, mate, please.
Has he got enough? I mean, he's not in his, you know, he's not in his 50s. He's in his, what, mid to late 40s? He must be 47, 48
47,
now.
47, yeah.
47, 48. Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, you know, Roy Jones Jr. fought last night. He was only, you know, he only stopped boxing 3 years ago, right? And he's 51, so he stopped around 48. Bernard Hopkins, Mark, you know, he was the oldest world champion, right, at 49. But I don't know. Oscar De La Hoya, don't get me wrong, technically, very good fighter. Power-wise, he's not in the same league as Golovkin. You know, Golovkin's... he's got a big, big right hand. And I think Oscar De La Hoya, you know, at 47, can he run away from him around the ring? You know, yes, Golovkin, you could argue, is getting on a bit. He's 37. But he's, you know, he's 10 years younger than Oscar De La Hoya. There's only, and look how, you know, look how active he has been. Obviously, Golovkin's, you know, he's in the prime, really, he's in prime condition. And I think there's only one winner there. And it will only be a paycheck for De La Hoya. Because let's be honest, he's losing boxes and he's in his management stable, isn't he? So clearly he must be hard up for some cash.
Yeah, strange one. But we'll see if De La Hoya does make that comeback in the first quarter. I wouldn't like to see him get straight in with Golovkin. In actual fact, I probably wouldn't like to see him get in with Golovkin anyway, just in case he did get hurt. But obviously an exhibition match would probably be his best bet to start off with. See how he goes and see if he can actually hold his own. See if he's got the fitness, mentality and the technique still. I'm not saying that he's lost that technique, but, you know, he's been out of the ring a long, long time. Eddie Hearn said this week that John Ryder is set to fight on the Golovkin card on December the 18th and will likely face Fedor Chudinov for the WBA regular belt, which becomes vacant after Canelo versus Smith. Hearn added that Ryder could be a reserve for the Canelo fight if needed.
That's a good fight, that Chudinov fight, Mark. We saw Umar Sadiq go out there, didn't he, recently, and obviously just come up that little bit short against him, didn't we? Chudinov, a tough opponent. A lot of our listeners will know that George Groves beat him for the world title back at Bramall Lane a few years ago. He was, you know, a younger man then. I think he's well in his 30s now, Chudinov, or maybe towards his late 20s. Very, very resilient opponent. But I reckon John Ryder, you know, he might nick that one. And what a great backup as well. If anything happens between Callum Smith or Canelo, he gets a shot, you know, and it fully deserved.
Absolutely. He's been around a while now, John Ryder. He's been in there, you know, he's never ducked a fight, trains hard down at the Matchroom Gym in Brentwood here, not too far from the studio, and yeah, you're right, thoroughly deserves his shot. Friday night, we saw Tony Yoka, his best display as he beat Christian Hammer by unanimous decision on Friday night. Now, a solid 10-round learning fight, really, regardless, for the 2016 Olympic gold medalist. He now moves to 9-0 with 7 of those by KO. We will discuss Joe Joyce in part 2. He knows Tony Yoka well. He lost that Olympic gold medal to him back in 2016. So Tony Yoka, Charlie, one, you know, I mentioned him before, the Frenchman. He's a heavyweight to look out for, you know, certainly for the next generation of heavyweights coming through.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's, as you said, a good Olympian. You know, a little bit suspect, you know, that win over Joe Joyce. But, I think they had a comparison up on Twitter over the weekend, Mark. Some of the, you know, the big heavyweights who's fought Hammer in the past, you know, starting out, going through the motions in terms of building out their record. And a lot of them, you know, more or less KO'd Hammer in the early rounds, early part of the fight. So, you know, Yoka won it on points unanimously, but, you know, a lot of raised eyebrows because, who's, you know, up-and-coming prospects who's ever faced Hammer, you know, they've more or less destroyed him in the early rounds. So time will tell whether or not Yoka's got the real raw power to sustain a career at heavyweight, certainly up with the big boys. You know, time will tell. Let's see.
Absolutely. Now, Friday night, I've never seen anything like this, Charlie. This was in the Gabe Rosado fight against Daniel Jacobs. The announcer mistakenly said that the winner of the bout was from Philadelphia first, then Brooklyn. Now, the mistake was corrected and Daniel Jacobs was declared the winner, but Rosado was celebrating in the ring because it was a close fight, split decision. He was celebrating in the ring when he said from Philadelphia. And then obviously that changed quickly to Brooklyn. Now, it was a very dull fight, a fight that, as I said, that was won on the split. Again, are we talking about, you know, TV companies changing the verdicts? Are we talking, is it corruption? I mean, Rosado, I mean, surely he would have been livid after that. Livid.
Yeah, but you're right, Mike. You may have knocked the nail on the head there. You know, DAZN are highly invested now, aren't they, with Matchroom and their boxers. Daniel Jacobs, super middleweight. You've got Billy Joe Saunders, he's with Matchroom. You've got Golovkin. You've got so many boxers in that super middleweight division that are aligned to DAZN, yeah? DAZN are now building, you know, momentum in the US. They're coming across to the UK very shortly in terms of subscriptions. They've got a good stable of boxers. it makes business sense for Daniel Jacobs to win that fight. So in 2021, Billy Joe Saunders is out in a couple of weeks against Martin Murray. Like I said, you know, there's all these names already signed to DAZN, Golovkin. You know, if he had lost that fight, that would have thrown a real spanner in the works. So is it business? Is it political? Who knows? But it leaves a bad taste in the mouth. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. Again, I mean, it came down to the judges' scorecards and something just did not sound right. It stinks. But you did mention Billy Joe Saunders. Yes, Daniel Jacobs has said he would like that fight. No shock. And obviously, he wants to be a two-weight world champion. Billy Joe Saunders has got that WBO super middleweight belt, obviously defends it against Murray in his second defence, and then possibly Jacobs. I mean, that would be a big fight for Billy Joe, and it would be a fight that would probably go the distance, if I'm brutally honest, because they're both, you know, technical boxers. But I think Billy Joe probably just edges it for me, and he beats Daniel Jacobs.
Yeah, again, we're forward ahead. We, you know, he still has to beat Martin Murray. I know on paper he should beat Martin Murray, but, you know, over the years when Martin Murray was in his prime, Billy Joe Saunders kind of avoided him. You know, I think there was an injury when he was due to fight him, etc. So I'm not saying that it's clear cut he's going to beat Martin Murray, but this is Martin Murray's. This is the opportunity of a lifetime for him. So, you know, you just don't know in boxing, as we found out last night. You know, it's a 50-50. Once you step through those ropes, anything can happen. You know, it's not clear cut that one man's going to win. So time will tell. But I agree, 2021. Daniel Jacobs, Billy Joe Saunders will be a very, very good technical fight. I agree with you. I don't think there'll be a knockout in that one. But let's get 2020 out of the way first and, you know, win their respective bouts.
Time for some music now. As I said, this month we're going to play a lot. And for the rest of, sorry, I'll say this month, we're still in November. But for December, we're going to leave you with some Christmas songs. So here's track one. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Enjoy this one. And we'll catch you very, very soon.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. It's the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once more.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Seconds out, part two. Welcome back, guys. Charlie, lots to talk about now. On to Saturday night's action. Wonderful stuff. Really, really was wonderful stuff. Daniel Dubois versus Joe Joyce for the British and Commonwealth heavyweight titles in a lovely Westminster church house in London. You know, the camera shots over London, fantastic to see, and the fight didn't fail to impress the public.
Before we proceed, during the music break, Mark nips out to the kitchen to make the teas. Now, bear in mind, when we turn up every week, I make the teas. Before we went on air, he's like, "Oh, Charlie, that's a superb cup of tea," right? He downed that tea. He's got a thirst on tonight. He's nipped out to the kitchen. He's plonked this mug down in front of me. I've just looked at the state of the tea, and you wouldn't give it to a dog. Sorry, listeners. Mark,
I was in a rush. Mate, I had 3 minutes to make that tea and get back in here.
That looks, honestly, you need, oh, mate, you need some lessons in making tea.
I don't think I left the bag in there long enough.
It's terrible. Anyway, so where were we? So, yeah, last night, you give it the old flannel about, yeah, the church house scenes were fantastic. They were. Don't get me wrong. They were. But we were there to watch the... We want to watch boxing, mate. Not... We don't want a tourist. You know what I mean? Open top.
No, for the American public, it would have been fantastic. Now, Charlie, you called it. I must admit, hats off to you. You're wearing a rather dodgy hat here tonight in the studio. That silly Peaky Blinders flat cap. But what I would say is that you called it. You nailed it. You've been talking up Joe Joyce for some time. We spoke to Sam Jones this year, Joe Joyce's manager, and you called this months ago. Joe Joyce, you went, if it goes into later rounds, Joyce will either win it on points or he might even get a late stoppage. You had money on it. You won money on it. So, as I said, hats off to you. Take that silly hat off and well done.
I called it. I followed him from the amateurs, Mark. Yes, he's 35 years of age. People have written him off even before, you know, anyone he's faced. You know, Stavern, Jennings. These are, you know, in the US, they're like the gatekeepers for the world title, aren't they? You know, they've been in there where the people are, you know, Deontay Wilder, you know, they've been in and amongst it. The Charles Martins, you know, they've been there. Joyce steamrolled them, Mark. 12 professional fights. He's been in there with calibre. On his resume, he's fought household names in the States. You look at Dubois' record. He's a prospect, don't get me wrong. He was fast-tracked by Frank Warren, and that was always going to be a banana skin going in against Joe Joyce. And he was written off. Warren gave him no chance. The media gave him no chance. And honestly, I think he fought a perfect fight. The left jab, the most pivotal punch in a bout in any boxer's armoury is your jab. Superb with the jab all night long.
I don't disagree with that. And from very early on in the fight, he tried to get behind that jab, even with the feint in the jab. Do you notice that as well, Charlie? Like the little, he had the jab sort of flowing all the time, like pretending he was going to throw it, like double. And Dubois was like, he just didn't have an answer for it. He couldn't work Joe Joyce out. And when you got the juggernaut coming forward like that, a big man, a strong man, and clearly got a chin now. He's got a chin. You know, he can walk through punches from the likes of Daniel Dubois. You know, Joyce is putting himself up there now. He could be number two with a
WBO. He's nicked it.
Yeah, he's nicked it from Daniel Dubois. Yeah. So that could lead to Usyk. Or we'll throw another name in the mix. Tony Yoka, the rematch for the Olympic gold that he lost. You know, if Usyk doesn't give him that opportunity, Tony Yoka, I think, would be a good fight for Joe Joyce. Or Chisora. Someone like that, as you mentioned, gatekeepers in the US, a gatekeeper in the UK that really then elevates him. Because this fight should elevate him. This win should elevate him, deservedly so, based on that performance. When everyone had written him off, everyone had written him off. I mean, I think Daniel Dubois, was he not like 20-1 on to win that fight or something? I mean, he was the clear favourite for that fight. So he has really, really gate-crashed the heavyweight scene, and a fighter that everyone had said, you know, he was over it because of his age. And well done to Sam Jones, well done to Joe Joyce. Magnificent, you know, great win.
Yeah, I mean, I got 12-1, Mark. That's how people would overlook Joe Joyce. I got 12-1 on a KO or a TKO round 7-12. You're right. All the money that was being laid was on Dubois. No one even gave Joe Joyce a chance. They really didn't. And even the judges, Mark, I saw this morning, the judges, before, obviously, at the point where he got stopped, two of the judges had given Dubois, Mike Lyson, 86-85 Dubois. Well, you could argue, you know, that seems pretty fair. One round in it. John Lantham gave it by Dubois, but he was five rounds up at that point. I mean, who's buying who there? Dubois weren't five rounds up. Certainly not on my card.
Yeah, it's disgusting. That's another Frank Warren judge then, isn't it? But, you know, Warren after the fight, I did feel a little bit for Joe Joyce because Frank Warren seemed to be going on about Daniel Dubois. And Cole Frampton, I think, nailed it in David Haye. He quit, but he quit for the right reason, in my opinion, because an eye injury like that, you know, could finish a career of a boxer. You know, I'm not saying, look at Kell Brook, for example. He's come back. He's not the same fighter, right? Daniel Dubois took that knee, I think, to save his career. Yes, you could argue that he quit, but he took that to save his career because, Charlie, he couldn't see out of that eye, and he was ready to take one hell of a pounding from Joe Joyce if that jab was hurting him that much. And Joe Joyce would have knocked him out proper, and he may have caused serious injury to him as well, and damage if he had knocked him out.
Yeah, but he's only 23, isn't he? And even, you know, Joe Joyce was saying, you know, in the post-bout interview, you know, I just started boxing at that age, at 23, so he's got his whole career in front of him. But it was just, I question the heart, Mark, and I know there's been a lot of attention on social media about that. You know, has he got the heart? He bottled it, blah, 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 blah. You know, his coach in the corner, Bowers was trying to get him up for it all night. I said, come on, Daniel, you're going to lose your belts here. Do you want to lose them? And he was just like, I don't know what it was.
Yeah, he was clueless, wasn't he? He didn't have an answer for the jab, but it was a broken orbital socket, which has been confirmed today. Yeah, Bowers did say to him, this is the fight game now, son. You could hear him in the corner, this is the fight game, to try and get him up for it, because he'd never been in deep waters like that throughout his career, throughout his young career. So everyone saw him as a bit of a puncher, you know, like the British Mike Tyson, which, yes, we all were guilty of labelling him with that sort of title too early. But well done to Joe Joyce. I mean, he's gone in there to the Lion's Den, not fancied by anyone in the game, or not fancied by many experts, and other than Charlie Foley, of course, and he walked away with 120 quid.
130, son.
130 quid, got his tenner back.
Got my stake back, and, you know, in hindsight, I should have put more money on it. And honestly, I did, but as, you know, the old trouble and strife was over my shoulder, I was putting it on my iPhone, she was like, what are you doing? It could have been more. I'm telling you, it could have been more, but Mrs. F put a stop to it.
I noticed today, actually, listeners, you'll be pleased to hear this, Carlos Formento is now following us, Charlie. He clicked in today. So Carlos Formento, who trained Kell Brook, if you're listening, Carlos, I hope you're enjoying the show.
I'm bilingual, you know. I can speak Spanish on Twitter, on Instagram. You know, he's following me because of my Spanish, you know, expertise, language.
And you call Joe Joyce. You know, Carlos, hopefully you're enjoying the show if you are listening tonight in Gran Canaria.
Gracias.
Chief support last night, Charlie, local lad Hamza Shiraz. I mean, the super welterweight gets better and better and better. He's with Will Jones now, who we know really, really well down at the edge, Jim and Romford and Kevin Mitchell. Another fantastic performance. I mean, it took him 10 rounds this time, really, to get the durable Guido Pito from Argentina out of the way. He moves to 12-0, the super welterweight, still the European champion. The world is his oyster, Charlie. You know, Cole Frampton, David Haye, really, really impressed by him. You know, even wasn't really getting out of second gear throughout those rounds, but was winning the rounds. And when he does put those combinations together, he just looks a class act.
He does, Mark. And he's, you know, he's very uncanny, isn't he? 6'3", you know, to be at that weight, it's a bit of a freak of nature, isn't it? But very good on the jab. He was very patient. I think the rounds would have done him really, really good. And it was a real good test for him. The other guy was durable. The other guy never looked like winning. He'd been in with a good few pros in the past, But, you know, it's what you get is what you see with the Argentinians, you know, very tough, very resilient. And it was a real test for Shiraz, but he was always going to come through that. And, you know, with people like Kevin Mitchell in his corner, Colin McMillan as well helps out a lot, mentoring and stuff like that. So he's got a great team behind him, Mark. And I can see him going really far, I really can. But he's only 21, no need to rush him. Why would you rush? You know, we've seen that in, you know, last night with Dubai. If you step it up too soon, too quickly, you're going to get found out. So do not rush this kid. Yes, he's a WBO European champion, but let's just have a nice, easy couple of defences, nice couple of voluntaries, you know, don't rush him.
Well, they're talking Troy Williamson. I think that fight is a fight that he wants. I think it had been spoke about previously. I think that actually they were really close to signing a contract for that fight. So Troy Williamson would certainly be a test for Shiraz. It's a fight that he does want. When that does happen, I'm not too sure. You know, he did hold the IBF European Junior Middleweight title. Well, he does hold that. And, you know, he's Darlington-based 29-year-old. It would certainly be, a good British dust-up, that one.
Yeah, they're very similar, Mark, aren't they? Round about the same in terms of record, you know. Williamson's 15-0. It'd be definitely a good fight, for sure. And certainly an all-British affair. So the public will, you know, certainly buy into that one. And, if he can nick the IBF, you know, European, and he's already got the WBO, then why not? It could be, you know, a unification for a European belt. So it'd be a good scrap.
Yeah, the thing is, in that super welterweight division, you've got the likes of Anthony Fowler, Fitzgerald, Cheeseman, Eggington, Kieran Conway, and Troy Williamson. So Shiraz is in there. He's in the mix. He's number five in the UK now. You know, he's certainly in the mix. This is what Hamza Shiraz had to say when we caught up with him in Brentwood this year. Take a listen to this quick interview, because we caught up with him right here in Brentwood.
Mark Foley here from Phoenix FM on the ropes. We're here with local boxer Hamza Shiraz. So, Hamza, just wanted to get a quick interview with you and find out how life is now that you're obviously the WBO European champion. So, how's life and how's things after that win against Ryan Kelly?
Yeah, no, life's good. It's just like it is after any other fight. Just had a week off, back to the gym, back training, grafting away with Eddie Kelly. And on to the next one, really. Just it's time to start collecting belts, start to getting my ranking a bit higher now. I'm ranked 15 with the WBO now, so hopefully push it up a little bit higher in the next two years or so, hopefully get a world title fight.
And you've got a great following locally here in Essex. I mean, you obviously want to go for world titles. Would that be this year, or are you looking maybe next year? You're still a young man, obviously. You've got time on your side, I guess. Slowly, or would you be looking for those world title shots very soon?
No, not soon at all. I want to like get the continental titles, international titles, and just slowly like creep up the rankings. And then by the time I get to the top five, hopefully that will be in like 2 years' time, hopefully. But for now, it's just concentrating on the next one, getting the belts, and like I said, getting the world ranking up there.
Well, Hamza, great to catch up with you. Just for all you guys listening, as I said, Hamza's Ilford lad. Keep an eye on this name, keep an eye on this lad, because he's certainly one for the future. And as I said, thank you for your time tonight.
Wicked, thank you very much. Cheers.
He certainly is one for the future. Chief support last night on that Daniel Dubois, Joe Joyce, headliner. And deservedly so, because he is making up ground fast, Hamza Shiraz. Super welterweight, real talent.
Absolutely, bro. But there was also names, Jack Catchell last night as well. Really impressed. Good to see him back in action. You got David Akdaly as well, the heavyweight. You know, some great, great names coming through the ranks, Mark.
But David Adelay, he's been around the gyms for a number of years now. That stoppage for me last night, it looked better in real time. It looked like he was connecting with him, but when you slowed it down, he was actually missing a lot of punches, and the referee didn't like the fact that he caught him low, but I don't think he actually caught him, he missed him, and then the corner threw the towel in for the big dog, can't remember his surname, he was fighting, but anyway, he got the win against someone he looked out of shape, his opponent, but he is making up ground. But he has been around a long, long time now, the amateur gyms and pro gyms, and he is a real athlete, and one for the future for sure.
Yeah, well, he's been learning a lot of sparring, Mike. He's been sparring some of the big guys, hasn't he? The likes of Fury, the likes of AJ, you know, he, and Usyk as well, I believe. So you know, he's certainly picking up, you know, some invaluable experience. And he's only 24. So, you know, he's got plenty of time on his hands. You know, that was only his fourth pro fight. So it's a learning game, isn't it? You can allow him to have a few, you know, swings and misses. You know, and you could argue, you look at Fabio Wardley's knockout the other week, you know, a lot of people were saying that was a great punch. And then when you slowed that down, it didn't look like a great punch. So you're always going to get a different points of view, you know, real time versus, you know, a replay. But, you know, for the heavyweight division to have more youngsters coming through, good British youngsters, I think it can only be a good thing.
Absolutely. You mentioned Jack Cattrall. He was out of the ring for more than a year, and he dropped Abajaz Hoya twice en route to a points victory last night. The Lancaster man has accepted to step aside in a deal to allow Jose Ramirez, the WBC and WBO champion, to face Josh Taylor, which we're aware of, for the undisputed world title. And Jack Cattrall will face the winner next year. He got a good workout, Charlie. You know, Hoya boxed for Tunisia at the 2012 Olympics and lives in France now. But Cattrall never looked at risk of losing the fight. Referee Victor Lachlan scored it 99-90, deservedly so, for Jack Cattrall.
Yeah, it's in total control, Mark, in total control. And it was just like you said, dusting down the cobwebs, getting active again, you know, in preparation. I reckon he'll have a couple more fights, maybe, you know, at one early next year, just to keep him ticking over in preparation, you know, like you said, for standing aside. And he's going to face the winner of that mammoth fight. So he's doing the right thing. He's probably earned a few quid stepping aside money, and he's just ticking over. And yeah, it was a comfortable win for him, really.
Now, Charlie, I didn't see this. I'm going to be totally honest. Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr., they shared an engaging draw in the exhibition bout early hours of this morning. Now, Tyson came out after the fight and said he wants to carry on fighting. He said, I don't know if you saw it. I saw it on social media today that Tyson Fury's father, John Fury, has been calling Mike Tyson out. Quite hilarious. But
do me a favour.
I know. It looks like Mike Tyson will fight on, and he called out that YouTuber that fought on the bill last night as well, Logan.
No, he didn't. His son called him out.
Oh, his son called him out.
His son called him out. But Mike Tyson was, Mark, you know, they put some of the youngsters to shame. Two real warriors. I watched the bat this morning, got it on YouTube. Certainly didn't stay up for it. But, you know, Roy Jones Jr., technically, Mark, honestly, you watch it back, he's still got the moves, and he's so clever. Tyson was, you could see, he was starting to clip him and hurt him. But every time he hurt him, you know, Roy Jones would literally smother his work, start holding one, hold with one hand, and start punching with the other. You know, tricks of the trademark, real ring craft. And both men, it was only 2-minute rounds, and there was only 8 of those, so 16 minutes, which doesn't sound a lot. But I tell you what, guys, even for a 30-year-old man doing 16, you know, even a 20-year-old kid trying to do 16 minutes in a ring non-stop, you know, these guys are in their 50s, Mark, and they still put a lot of these young prospects to shame. And real, real gentlemen afterwards as well. You know, Mike Tyson, very respectful towards Roy Jones Jr., you know, saying, you took my punches, you know, you're a warrior. And likewise, Jones was as well. And he said, you know, would they dance again? Because it was a draw. The referee gave it a draw. I personally think Tyson just nicked it because he was more the aggressor. Roy Jones Jr. was, as I said, technically he was sharper, you know, ring craft, moving away, keeping out of range whenever he did get clipped, which is very clever. But I think Tyson nicked it for me. Where they go next, Roy Jones Jr. said he'll have to go away, talk to his family. But I personally think there might be a little Legends League, Mark, or something like that, because Mike Tyson, in the post-bout interview, was alluding to other sports stars, you know, that may have just been over the hill. And why should, you know, and tennis has, you know, the Legends tournament and stuff like that. Yeah, and I feel that he's going to try and have a little Legends League. You never know. And you might see, obviously, Nigel Bender was talking about him fighting in the UK earlier in the year. Do people like that prop up in this little Legends League? Fascinating stuff for me.
Oscar De La Hoya clearly wants to make a comeback. Throw him in the mix.
But that, you know, I don't
Steve
know
Collins Senior, I think he was quite interested. Eubank,
yeah.
Senior was interested in
Evander Holyfield. He's been saying that he might come back. You've got Riddick Bowe, Lennox Lewis. I mean, come on, this thing could snowboard. It really could, and it could be. You know, I was, you know, pleasantly surprised at their age, 54 and 51, to see how fit they were, and to see how, you know, like I said, the ring craft of Roy Jones Jr., very impressive. Very, very impressive. But the undercard, Mark, people are talking about these YouTubers again. As you said, Jake Paul, Nate Robertson. He thought Nate Robertson was an NBA star for 10 years. His first professional fight, how he got a license, I will never know. He was KO'd in round two. A vicious right hook, Mark, from Jake Paul. And the guy was flat out. These, you can't play boxing. Very, very dangerous to step through those ropes with no boxing experience whatsoever, no head guards, not even an amateur fight, and he gets a pro licence. Outrageous.
Yeah, dangerous, dangerous stuff. Right, time for a break now and some music. We're going to leave you with Brenda Lee rocking around the Christmas tree.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling.
Phoenix FM.
You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear. Bows of holly rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way. Holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
Seconds out, part three. Welcome back, Charlie. A lot of boxing to look forward to again this week. It all kicks off Wednesday, the 2nd of December. We've got the Golden Contract, the finals. I mean, really looking forward to this. It will take place at the Production Park Studios in Wakefield, featuring the rescheduled featherweight final between Jazza Dickens and Ryan Walsh. The event will be broadcast live on Sky Sports in association with Matchroom, and in the US on ESPN Plus in association with Top Rank. Now, the clash really with Dickens and Walsh, they're both very, very similar records. Charlie, Dickens with 29-3, 11 by KO, 3 defeats, and Walsh 29-2, 12 KOs. It was originally set for September the 30th before the positive COVID test for Dickens, and also on that bill we get the final also for the light heavyweight final versus Bolotnik's. He'll defend his WBO European light heavyweight title against Serge Mikkel, the German, who's 11-1 and 8 by KO. Very, very interesting fights. You know, Jamie Conlon is the MTK Global Vice President, and he's finally looking forward to getting the final, the finals, you know, back on our screens, really. Looking forward to it.
It's been a long time, Mark, coming, done and dusted with, you know, the pandemic has really slowed this down. It would have been great to have that somewhere like your call with a jam-packed house. You know, you've got a former guest of ours on the undercard as well, haven't you? Daniel Igbeneke, he's fighting Harlem Eubank. What a great little dust-up that's going to be. That's going to be a fantastic bill. Like Mark said, you can get that Wednesday night, Sky Sports. So much more boxing towards the end of the week. Billy Joe Saunders on Friday night. Martin Murray we touched upon. Then Saturday, you've got BT Sports. You've got Anthony Yard versus Lyndon Arthur for the Commonwealth light heavyweight title. And you've also got fighting over in the US as well, Mark, haven't we?
Errol Spence Jr. versus Danny Garcia. That will be on Saturday for the WBC World Welterweight Championship and the IBF World Welterweight Championship also. So really, really looking forward to that. I mean, going back to the Saunders v. Murray fight, Charlie, you can get that one live on Sky Sports Arena Friday night. The estimated ring walk for this fight is 10 p.m. So we've got that on our screens. And the estimated ring walk time for Errol Spence Jr. on Sunday morning is 3 a.m. You know, his first fight back after that car crash. And it won't be an easy fight against Danny Garcia.
Certainly not, Mark. Danny Garcia, you know, you could say that his best years are behind him, but I disagree with that. He's very dangerous. He's got a fantastic left hook, and he will not rest. He will not give Errol Spence a minute's peace. So Errol Spence, I hope that he's got over that, you know, that incident. I hope he's mentally prepared, and I hope he's physically fit, because Garcia will not let him rest on his laurels one little bit. Really looking forward to this week's fight. You know, entertainment and boxing, there's a lot going on this week. And long may it continue. Love it.
Obviously, you touched on Lyndon Arthur versus Anthony Yard. I mean, that is a great domestic dust-up. You talk about the dust-up between Dubois and Joyce. This is another one, a light heavyweight. They are two really, really hot talents. And yes, Yard has lost his first world title attempt. But, I mean, Lyndon Arthur cannot be ruled out of this fight either.
Yeah, well, again, you could... Yeah, people have been writing him off, Mark. And like you said with Dubois, people wrote Joe Joyce off. So, but I personally think Yard will be too strong for him. Yard would have learnt a hell of a lot from that world title fight against Kovalev. I just hope he doesn't, you know, underestimate him. It's only a Commonwealth title, you know, that mentality. A Commonwealth title is a great belt to have. It's a beautiful belt. I just hope he doesn't overlook him, you know. But, and I don't think he will. You know, Tunde Ajayi in his corners, he's a wise owl. You know, I don't think he will let Yard, you know, overlook Lyndon Arthur one little bit. So that's an intriguing bout as well. So, like I said, some great, great boxing this weekend, and really looking forward to it.
Just looking at the undercard, actually, for Billy Joe Saunders' card Friday night. On the undercard also is James Tennyson and Josh O'Reilly. They clash for the WBA World Lightweight Championships, and Zach Parker and Cesar Nunes are also on that card. So, yeah, I mean, I can't wait. I just love having midweek boxing. We've got it on Friday night. We've got it on Saturday night. You know, just, yeah, fantastic. Fantastic to see. Really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Tennyson, Mark, he's like the Belfort, what do they call him, the Irish Canelo. He's a little boy, little fella, lightweight, isn't he? He can bang. So, yeah, looking forward to boxing Wednesday, Friday, Saturday night. Get the beers in the fridge.
And Sunday morning if you want to stay up.
Well, that is Saturday night, isn't it?
Errol Spence Jr.
Saturday night in the UK, right? Or Sunday morning, either.
Sunday morning. Right, guys.
Quotes of the week, and I pinch this one off Peter Sims, the local trainer of the Sims family. They're very, you know, very well connected boxing family. He posted this one on his social media this morning. Peter, if you're listening, sorry mate, I pinched it. How to win at life. Step one: let people do what they need to do to make them happy. Mind your own business and do what you need to do to make you happy. The end.
Lovely stuff, lovely stuff, and very true. Very, very, very
keep
true.
Keep your nose out of it, Mark.
So lots of fights to look forward to, you know, next week, as we've touched on. Charlie, anything else that, you know, that you're looking forward to seeing out the year? We've got Joshua coming up. You know, we've got that Puliev fight. We've got, in the US, we've got Canelo Smith. I mean,
I mean, I am looking forward to Joshua Puliev, Mark, just to see. Again, that is, I keep mentioning banana skins, but there's so much riding on that fight. If Joshua did lose again, you know, with Tyson Fury 2021, you know, they're talking about a 2 or 3 fight deal. You know, what if he slips up? It's fascinating stuff. And like you said, Canelo versus Callum Smith. Has Callum Smith got what it takes to beat, potentially pound for pound, one of the best boxers, certainly, you know, of the 20s? You know, what an unbelievable boxer Canelo is turning out to be. So, fascinating stuff. Some big, big fights. And I'm just really pleased that these fights are getting made, because over the years, you know, people have ducked each other. And it's fascinating to see. And it's fantastic as well. It's really, really, you know, it's going to end the year on a high in terms of, you know, the boxing circle and entertainment for all fight fans.
A fight also that we forgot to mention. You've got that Joshua fight on the 12th, but then on the 11th also, you've got Sam Eggington versus Ashley Theophane, Charlie, former guest of the show. That'll be on Channel 5. We touched on that recently. You've also got Frank versus Youssef on that bill for the vacant British Boxing Board of Control British Flyweight Championship. Joshua versus Puliev on the 12th. Akoli on that bill for the vacant WBO World Cruiserweight Championship against Glowacki. Love to see Lawrence win that belt. Bacoli's on that bill as well. He is on that bill, Martin Bacoli, the heavyweight. You've got Fury versus Wack on that bill.
Vac.
You've got Conway on that bill. Yeah, so, I mean...
And you've got Spider Richards as well, mate. I just mentioned Peter Sims there. You know, he's in Spider's corner. He's fighting for the British title, isn't he? Pitters.
Yeah.
And that's on Channel 5. So Channel 5 have got some, you know, events coming up. It's free, terrestrial TV, Channel 5. Fantastic, fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, lots of boxing to look forward to. That Pitters versus Richards fight is on Friday the 18th of December. So that should see out the year. And then you've got Canelo versus Smith on the 19th. Mouth-to-mouth watering fights to look forward to into the year end. And then obviously the big one in the new year, Saturday the 2nd of January, we get Ryan Garcia versus Luke Campbell for the WBC World Lightweight Championship. That comes from Fantasy Springs Casino, California. Cannot wait for that one. Really looking forward to it.
Absolutely, Mark. But even, you know, Garcia, he's been calling everyone out. So I'm really looking forward to seeing if Luke Campbell can school him, really, because I think he runs his mouth off a little bit. Social media, you know, goes to their head in terms of followers. Someone like Luke Campbell, seasoned pro, been there, seen it, done it, been in with the best. You know, had a great, obviously, Olympic career, you know, for us back in London. And obviously, you know, has got in there with the likes of Lomachenko. So Luke Campbell, again, you know, Garcia cannot overlook him because, these young lads run their mouths off and Luke Campbell will hopefully shut him up.
Absolutely. Right, I think I'll play another song now just to give it, you know, get us in the festive mood. The Christmas decorations are up here in the studio at Phoenix 98 FM by all the team, so thank you for that. It's looking very festive in here this evening, and you know, certainly getting us in the Christmas spirit. So we're going to play Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Santa's coming, girl. Woo! You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or not. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows. You better watch out, you better not cry. You better not fight, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out, you better not cry. You better not pout, I'm telling you why. Twice, he's gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. So it's that time of year where you let all your problems go. And you know, you just shake it, baby. Shake it, baby. Ooh, do 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 do
checking it twice. He's gonna find out it's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
This is Phoenix 98 FM. 98 FM.
Welcome back, guys, to part four of the show. Now, Charlie, question here I've been thinking about during the break and a bit of music. Following last night's fight and the evidence that you saw, and I'll discuss this with you as well, do we believe that either Joe Joyce and or Daniel Dubois will one day become heavyweight world champions, based on what you saw last night?
Joe Joyce, no, because he's 35. The era that he's in now of the heavyweights, the likes of Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, even Mark Usyk, I don't think he can get near him. I really don't. He's, you know, he called out Usyk last night, obviously for that rematch. I think that will be a snore fest, but I think Usyk will technically be too much for him. You put him in with someone like AJ and knock him out. Even Dillian White and knock him out. Daniel Dubois is 23. I think he's going to ride another wave. You know, once these guys have moved on, it's all about his heart and his desire. He's going to have to really, you know, take a break, obviously get his eye mended, and look himself in the mirror and see if he's got what it takes, you know, to go for it. I mean, really go for it and have the grit and the determination, and, you know, and he could potentially be a world champion, Mark. So out of the two, I would still argue that Daniel Dubois is a future world champion.
I agree to some extent with that. I think Dubois, as you said, has got another 10 years in the game at least at 23. I think he can come again after that defeat. And as you rightly said, some of the old guard will you know, retire or be pushed to one side eventually. For me, what was really, really impressed by with Joe Joyce was his boxing ability, and it reminded me a little bit of Fury versus Klitschko. You know, when no one expected him, Fury, to go out there and win it, and it's, you know, 5 years ago, but he schooled Klitschko. And for me, Joe Joyce he schooled Daniel Dubois. The big fights are out there for Joe Joyce, obviously potentially Usyk, former Olympian, Tony Yoka, former Olympian, Anthony Joshua, former Olympian, Joe Joyce, former Olympian. He doesn't have age on his side, but he's got some big paydays out there. He'll get a shot. I think he will get a shot. And I think now he's proven to the British public and the big promoters out there that he is a name. You know, he is a name. You know, he's a name now. He's beaten one of the hottest prospects in heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. He snowboarded himself up to those, you know, the fringes of those big fights. Don't get me wrong, the fringes. The only way he'll get a sniff at a world title is someone like AJ vacates, and then he's got to fight Usyk for the vacant title, because Usyk obviously stepping up from cruiserweight. He's got first knockings, and Joe Joyce might be the, you know, the preference for Usyk to fight, because obviously he's nicked that world ranking number two place. So that's the only way he's going to get an opportunity. Because I just can't see, like, what's in it for Joshua, you know. All right, you could argue that it could be a big British, you know, not extravaganza of heavyweight boxing. There's only going to be one winner there. Tyson Fury, would he fight him? Possibly, maybe, because of Frank Warren and the connections with BT Sports, who knows? And Top Rank, obviously. That might be a possibility. But, you know, he's not in their league for me, Joe Joyce.
No, I know, but he's certainly got boxing ability. He might not have that knockout punch, but he could give a lot of heavyweights a lot of trouble. And yeah, clearly we saw that last night.
As you know, I've always backed him, Mark. I have always backed him, and, you know, but he will get to, you know, and if he does get there, on merit, fully deserved. But I just think those guys at the top have just got that little bit too much. I really do.
Now, guys, if you do want to go back and listen to previous shows, obviously catch us on phoenixfm.com. You can go back. There's some great interviews on there. You know, we did interview Sam Jones, and we spoke a hell of a lot about Joe Joyce and the upcoming fight. That was show 66. So please go back and listen online. You know, we've had some cracking guests in 2020, the likes of Ellie Scotney, who made her debut with Matchroom this year. We've had Frank Smith from Matchroom. Will Jones, who obviously trained Hamza Shiraz for his fight last night. We've had the likes of Chantel Cameron on the show. Archie Sharp, another up-and-coming heavyweight, Johnny Fisher. Alfie Price, for example. Umar Khan, the cousin of Hamza Shiraz. You know, get yourselves on there and have a listen. Danny Igbenke, who's coming up. He's fighting Eubank. Harlem Eubank Wednesday night. So please just go back, listen to some of the stories, listen to some of the interviews. They're fantastic shows and they are available online.
Online, exactly. www.phoenixfm.com. Go to programs, dance on the ropes, fill your boots, listen to. You can even listen to this week's show. It'll be up there midweek. Spread the word. We're on all the socials, Twitter, On the Ropes FM1. We're on Instagram, On the Ropes FM. We're on Facebook. We've got a group, On the Ropes. So please, please, please follow all our content. Share, you know, or show, because the more the merrier. And hopefully all you boxing fans and fight fans love our weekly boxing show. What are you doing? Oh, he's typing something in. He's asked me to keep talking, so I'm going to keep talking, keep rambling on, as what I normally do. As I said, we enjoy the boxing. We enjoy the show. Do keep listening. Spread the word. Phoenix 98 FM is the place to be on a Sunday evening each and every week, 8 o'clock sharp.
Okay, guys, we're going to leave you with another Christmas song to play out the week. This is Blue Christmas. Enjoy this one, and we will catch you live next week, Sunday, 8 p.m. on the ropes, Phoenix 98 FM.
Have a knockout week, guys, and remember,
you're always in with a puncher's chance. This is Blue Christmas. Enjoy this one. We'll catch you next week, as I said, Phoenix 98 FM.
Y'all have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not hearing me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue same day.